In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
My favorite part of the reset intro. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. We are halfway home on a Tuesday. You've unboxed that thing. I don't know that you were supposed to do that, Ben. I guess you can.
I know that I've lowered its resale value on the open market.
Tremendously. Tremendously. We are halfway home. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins. Fernando Tatis Jr. Fernando Tatis Jr. bobblehead unboxed.
Platinum hair, perhaps. Yeah, it's the platinum glove bobblehead presented by Knells.
I feel like Mud and Dawn right now.
Going to be the giveaway on Wednesday, September 18th. It's the final giveaway of the season.
That's a good quality item.
40,000 fans in attendance will receive this. I am holding it if you're on our YouTube stream.
There you go.
Platinum glove bobblehead featuring Fernando's iconic home run robbery reaching over the fence. Someone asked, is this the one that they didn't give away in 2022? And I go, well, he hadn't won the Platinum Glove at that point, so this is an entirely new Tatis bobblehead.
Does he have a Platinum Glove on there?
He does.
Yeah, he does.
He has a Platinum Glove on the bobblehead. You can learn more at Padres.com/giveaways. Now, if I wanted to, I could put it back into its molded plastic case and then back into the...
Oh, somebody in the chat says, JH619 says, but it has sunglasses on, though. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I was thinking about it yesterday when he said, I've tried it both ways. I wear the sunglasses and I don't wear the sunglasses. It's much easier without sunglasses. And I thought, doesn't he have like a sunglass?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? Give me the toy.
I'm just putting it away.
Give me the toy. Fine.
Taking it away from him.
Here,
give me the toy.
Take the paper snap, too. While you're at it.
Like a six-year-old.
I was putting it away.
Doesn't
That's
he have
very responsible of me.
Doesn't he have a sun doesn't he endorse like sunglasses?
Well, in lots of his Instagram pictures, he is wearing sunglasses. He's not like religiously opposed to them.
It's a sunglass.
I've seen him in sunglasses many times. He just says I can't see the ball as well in sunglasses in the field.
Yeah, that is hard.
In the outfield.
Yeah.
I wear those transitions sunglasses when I play golf.
The Ron Riveras.
If you have not seen him in his transitions, they are the first day he got them. He came in and goes, I got these new shades. And I go,
I think they're awesome.
This was like, what, 2 years ago? Maybe you go, I got these new sunglasses. I go, oh, okay. And he was so excited. He goes, yeah, they change when you go outside. And I go, you didn't get them. They don't change dark when you walk outside.
Yeah, when like the clouds come out, then they don't get as dark. So you don't have to like be changing your glasses. Plus, they're prescription, so I can see. Because I can read up close, but at a distance, I can't see the golf ball anymore. So I need them to actually see my shot now.
It's such a dad move. The transition lenses are like one of the main dad moves. Is to get this. You were so excited about it. I'm sorry to crap all over it. I was sorry then, 2 years ago.
I'll just wait until Fernando starts wearing them, and then they'll be cool for everybody, and I will be ahead of the game.
Why don't they wear those, then, in the big leagues?
I'm not sure. Seems like it would be ideal, because they're always dealing with the... I mean, remember the flip sunglasses where they'd have them down and then they'd flip them up, flip them back down?
Yeah.
That's what transitions are. You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything.
They'll just change on their own when you need them to be darker or lighter.
Ron Rivera just laid
Jim Harbaugh
me out.
Yeah. Wears them.
Harbaugh wears them. Yeah. Big in the coaching circles. Man, so are yours not readers?
No, they're the opposite.
Okay.
I have to take them off if I want to read. I can read just fine. I'm nearsighted.
Everybody always yells at me, like, "Woods, you take your glasses on and off on the show like 100 times." I'm like, "Yeah, because they're I don't like wearing them."
But this was actually, I got these because about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I found myself unable to see the words on the teleprompter at Channel 10, which is kind of across the room when I'm talking. I'm standing in one of those walls, and the camera is a good 15 feet away, and I'm going, squinting every single time I'm on television is not a good look. I probably should go to an optometrist. And they put glasses on, and I go, oh, yes, I can see now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad it has gotten over the last couple of years. But, yeah, these glasses actually do help me see at a distance.
Yeah, Lisa says, transitions are never dark or light enough. They always look gray. Yeah, there's always shades of gray. Keegan says, transition glasses automatically increase your credit score. That's true. You have those on. Yeah, and I like the flip glasses. Somebody said Tony Gwynn used to wear the flips. I think they looked badass. If they're up and just little things poking out the side, and then you go back for a ball and flip them down, I mean, I could never do it.
That's kind of what Tatis needs, though, because he needs no sunglasses to see it off the bat, essentially, is what I'm hearing. Like, the sunglasses make it hard to see it at a distance. But as it's getting closer, if you're looking into the sun, you need them, so flip them right
down. It's a lot to do, though.
I don't see anyone wearing those anymore,
though.
Nor do
I. And there's probably a reason for it. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like something that would be a good deep dive to go and ask the players. Maybe it's spring training next year. We'll ask them. Why don't you use the I feel like Crony would wear flips. Out of everybody on the team, I feel like he would have flip shades.
Infielders rarely wear sunglasses.
No, they used to. Well, they
did
you,
they?
No, they do now. What always freaks me out is when people hit with sunglasses on. I could never in a million years hit. Doesn't matter how bright it is. There's that thing in the middle that you stare at. The piece right in the middle.
The bridge.
And every time you're up there with your sunglasses, you're like, all I see is the bridge.
I'll hit with glasses on if I was wearing glasses that day. Like, I can't.
You can't switch.
It screws up my eyes to go from sunglasses to not.
Next time we play a game, watch me at first base. The whole time I'm putting them on, taking them off. Putting them on, taking them off. Because I'm just trying to get the right feel for what it is. And the sun can be right in my face, but I'm kind of with Fernando on this. It does make
now,
it tougher.
My dad always wore contact lenses.
Yep,
but
I wore those.
I don't really want to put things in my eyes.
Yeah.
So
I need somebody
to, glasses.
To tell me. I got LASIK 14 years ago, and it was the greatest thing ever. And now it's fading a little bit, and I have to wear readers. Is there a tune-up I can do? Can I go in and get retuned up? Is that possible?
I think...
Ooh, that's right. Nolan Arenado still does wear flips. He does. I've seen him in them. But if there's a tune-up for like LASIK to get me back to where I was, I'll pay whatever.
I know there is certainly a limit to how much you can do at some point. They don't want you to do too much LASIK, but there might be a second like tune-up procedure.
I need one so bad. So yeah, you can get it and get it redone. Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to take a couple days off, fellas. Go get some new LASIK at some point. I want to get that done.
Why do you have to take days off?
Because it hurts. It doesn't feel good. You'll need a day of recovery.
Okay.
At least one day.
You can just come in
LASIK,
with your eyes
but
closed.
I also see so many things about LASIK that freak me out.
The greatest
now.
Thing I ever did. It was so good.
My mom did it. She said it was great.
It's fantastic.
Everybody I know that's had LASIK had nothing to complain about. And then other people are like, you're going to actually, you would seriously consider that?
Yeah, it was incredible. The first day I stepped back on a field, I was like, this is heaven. I wore goggles and contacts and all kinds of stuff. It was heaven. So if there's a tune up that I could do it, it'd be great. Yeah, Carlos says, do it on a Thursday at 10 a.m. Yeah, 100%. See you guys on Monday.
Missed that round table?
Yeah.
I can't. I've got my LASIK surgery.
Yep, I need to check that. Is there any way you can reschedule? What do we think about the round table this week? Ben, you're going to be gone. You're going to be out.
I'm off Thursday and Friday.
Where are you heading?
Thousand Oaks, the Conejo Valley.
For golf?
Golf, yeah. Meeting my buddy and his friend and going to play some golf. Rustic Canyon. Looking forward to playing that course.
And there'll be a round table. Now, you're the host of the round table.
Yeah, but Annie filled in for me back. I missed a round table in like late April or early May, and I heard she did an excellent job.
She did.
So she will be up again.
Do you know that for sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay. So Annie, me, Elston, and Ello.
Correct.
Awesome. Paul, you want to sit in?
Not particular.
Might have a spot for you.
There's chairs. There's definitely chairs. Free pizza in it for you. Paulie doesn't usually partake in the free pizza, I've noticed.
He does.
I'll grab like a breadstick.
Do you grab one? Yeah, I mean, you kind of get your work done and then you take off. Oh. It's the one day that we stay longer than Paulie of the week. Usually he stays longer than us.
It's true. But
on that day, I usually have somewhere to be pretty quickly after the show, whether it's a haircut, therapy. It's always Thursdays.
Smoke weed in the chat. It's a very subtle name. Since the Benowitz comment on the photo of the fan, the Padres game walking around wearing a banana hammock circle. Yeah, we did. We spent a good amount of time on it yesterday on the plum smoke.
Oh, I thought he was telling you to smoke weed.
No, that's his handle.
That's for glaucoma, not LASIK.
Correct. Big bomba class before watching on my head. So if Adam wanted to... Oh, Sammy Lev's going to join us as well. All right, well, that makes it more worthwhile then to be there. Not shot and everyone's
already
going to be
there.
You
want to use all those chairs, or at least as many as possible.
Use them up. Use them.
Maybe Sammy wants to host.
Smoke weed is my favorite. It's my favorite name in the chat. Satan's Blowfish is also a good one, but smoke weed is just so. It's so matter of fact.
What's balsamic Vinny?
That's good. That's a good one. What handle would you like? I don't know. Smoke weed is so good. It's very matter of fact.
And I think my least favorite. Not that my least favorite person, but my least favorite
gas station D-pill kills me every time. Smoke weed, we love you too, buddy. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. I don't hate the round table, Alex.
Frijoles is a good one. Yeah. That's beans in Spanish.
Yep. All right. You said you had a fun thing here.
I didn't have a fun. We were talking about James Earl Jones. We had a shout out to his family in our first half of the program. And my contention yesterday was that James Earl Jones is
shout out to his family.
The one. Like, one thing that we can all agree on.
Shout out to his family. His family.
Everybody likes James Earl Jones.
I feel
I've
like
never
you're
met
right,
anyone
man.
That doesn't. And I saw someone point out, well, probably some racists out there. I don't even know. I think
even the racists are like, you know what, he's all right.
He's good, though. I mean, everybody liked James Earl Jones.
Hey, man, that Field of Dreams, that's a good movie.
Why does Foster, why did you do your Foster voice?
I didn't.
But the question is, does anybody have, like, one of those people that everybody likes, but you don't? Like, you don't like.
Glenn Powell is a new one for me.
That everybody likes that you don't like?
Everybody loves Glenn Powell now, and I just don't, I don't get it.
He's fine.
He's handsome, but like.
Is he the one from Top Gun
2? Yeah.
A little smarmy seeming.
Yes,
yeah,
a
but
little
that's his
smarmy.
Character too.
It's, that was the character. I also, Paulie told me about some rom-com he was in with Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, I don't remember the name of
and
that.
It's
on Netflix.
Can't Be You or It Has to Be You or
Anybody but You.
So I put it on.
That chin is a deadly weapon.
I'm so jealous of that. Maybe that's what it is. I'm jealous of his chin.
I see a lot of Glenn Powell in my house.
There's a lot of Glenn Powell going around.
Because Megan would throw me off
the
bridge.
That part of James Earl Jones, he wasn't intimidatingly handsome.
Yeah.
But he wasn't unattractive either. He was just right there. Perfect. You know?
Somebody in the chat said, Tom Hanks. What, Matt? Tom Hanks. He doesn't like Tom Hanks. Everyone likes Tom Hanks, and he doesn't. Tobey Maguire, I'm with you 1,000%.
Does everybody like Tobey Maguire?
I think he's pretty universally liked, isn't he?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think most people would think he's a little dweeb.
He's a little nerd.
Yeah. A lot of people get so popular that makes them unappealing,
correct.
Too.
Maybe that's what it is with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, you just, man, everybody likes him too much. But James Earl Jones never got that way. He didn't overexpose himself. He wasn't like, I'm going to just be in it. Everyone loves me, so I'm just going to take every single role and be in every movie. He just, you know, he was out there just the right amount. He wasn't too much in the public, but he wasn't too private and reclusive.
So good.
He was just, it was like perfect.
Ricardo, I agree with this one. Ricardo says The Rock. I'm there. I'm with you.
Everybody with you likes The Rock?
Yeah. He's like universally loved, I think. I'm kind of out of it.
I think just because they're thrown in your face all the time doesn't mean they're universally loved. I would say Shaq is universally loved.
Yeah. Ooh. I love Shaq.
Who doesn't like Shaq?
Like Shaq?
I mean, Boston Celtics fans probably.
Sports, even today, I bet they're like, I bet they still like
it. It's tough with
TNT.
Sports fans because you always have an opposing fan base that's never going to be your biggest supporters, so, for sure.
We're talking about, you know.
Oh, Tom Cruise has plenty of haters.
Oh, plenty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about actors that we think are kind of universally
Snoop's
loved.
Snoop's not a bad call.
Ernie Johnson.
Not a bad call. Oh,
Adam
Ernie
says.
Great.
Yeah, now we're going.
Adam doesn't like Ernie Johnson.
Or he just thinks everybody likes Ernie Johnson. I don't know.
Kurt says Ben Higgins.
Who makes Kurt?
Now, when you said Tom Hanks.
I don't even know if there's three people in this room who like me. Well, there's one.
Well, you don't like yourself, so.
When you said Tom Hanks, I just had a memory pop into my head. 13, 14 years ago, I was in college, had a roommate, kind of a weird kid, weird dude.
Sure.
And I think somebody's watching Forrest Gump in the living room, and he came in and he goes, "Ugh, I hate Forrest Gump." We go, "Why?" He goes, "Ugh, can't stand Sally Fields." Like, it's maybe the hardest I've ever laughed.
Like, why?
And I go, "A, that shouldn't make or break Forrest Gump.
No, she's barely in it.
B, who has any feelings towards Sally Field one way or the other?" Like she's just there.
She's just an actor. And she's good. Like,
she had the Oscar
actor
acceptance when she was.
You like me. You really, really like me.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I think of.
I go, really? That ruined her 10 minutes in the movie.
Yeah, I can't
ruined
watch it because.
Forrest Gump. Okay.
It's interesting. Adam is throwing out names like Robin Williams. And he said Ernie Johnson.
I want to put Adam in time.
Adam said Ernie Johnson, then said, "I love Ernie Johnson."
Everyone loves Ernie.
Adam, this is the.
We're trying to find someone you don't like
that you
that
don't like that everyone loves.
Likes.
So Adam doesn't like Robin
no,
Williams.
He does. It's another one that he thinks everybody likes Robin Williams.
That's not the purpose of the game.
Right.
He just doesn't understand how it's working.
Maybe Adam missed the first like 3 minutes of this portion.
Yeah, Diesel, put him in timeout, please, in the chat.
Does anybody not like Denzel?
That you don't like.
My wife.
She doesn't like Denzel.
My wife, this is a quote. He's not that good of an actor. So
I think you've said that before.
That's what I deal with on a nightly basis.
Still
Denzel Washington.
Shocks
Denzel
me.
Washington's not that good of an actor. It's a quote. You wonder why I'm frazzled all the time.
Has she seen Crimson Tide? Come on.
Takes like that. She said this. Yeah, Anthony, that's insane. You're right. It's insane.
You shared something the other day that made me laugh. When you're talking about hating yourself, you said the post. What was the post? It was you can get $50,000, but if you accept the $50,000, the person you hate the most gets $100,000.
Easiest 150 grand I ever made. You know, the other day when you were talking about hating yourself? It was the most clever tweet I think I've ever seen in my whole life. It laid me out, man. Holy cow. Oh, that was so good. That was so, so good. All right. Well, thanks for playing along. And Jesse Agler's coming up soon.
Yes. So they coach us in radio to really hit the teases before breaks hard.
Yeah.
To make sure you come back. Problem is, it's sometimes hard to pay off those teases.
Sure.
But I've got one for you. There's a bit of a twist. I can guarantee you that the Rookie of the Year race is over. It is decided, and I know who's winning it with 100% certainty. I'll tell you why I know that. Next, after traffic here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
So I know what you think, because I am going to pay off my tees and why I can guarantee you who's going to win the Rookie of the Year award. And you're going, how can you do that? Paul Skeens threw well again yesterday for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Really nice day for my beloved Paul Skeens.
Set the Pittsburgh Pirates rookie strikeout record. Six innings, one run. Yes, you do. 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts. Improved to 10-2 on the season. Okay. He will get some support for the National League Rookie of the Year award. Jackson Churio is kind of coming on strong late as well. I think he got off to too slow of a start to catch Jackson Merrill. But he has played really well lately. There are some really good rookies, especially in the National League this year. But I'm paying off the tease by pulling a fast one on all of you. The Rookie of the Year award is going to Caitlin Clark because Angel Reese had a season-ending surgery and is not going to win it in there. See, I told you. What can you do?
I'm too tired for this. My nerves are already frayed.
I was here at 4 o'clock. It was a Skeens Merrill-esque battle between the two. Both of them were having phenomenal rookie seasons in the WNBA.
I'd like to take this moment to just apologize to the audience.
I can't.
I know you have a lot of choices in the morning, and you're probably listening to Ben and Woods at 8:13, and you hear that tease. You had so many choices.
I can hear the channels changing right now out of anger.
I can't guarantee you that Jackson Merrill is going to win the Rookie of the Year award. He should. Absolutely should. But Paul Skeens is at least continuing to throw a little bit of doubt into the equation how he's pitching.
You watched it yesterday. Did you see him, too, in the dugout? He looked at the camera and he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He counted them off. I'm like, God, you son of a bitch.
I love Paul Skeens.
And it's not as though Jackson Merrill's giving any ground. He gets hurt. He misses one day. He comes back. It's a home run. He's not giving any ground at all. That's why Jackson Merrill still should be the Rookie of the Year winner in the National League.
It's coming down to the wire.
It is not over yet.
No, it is not.
And that is so.
You're a monster for that.
I know.
I was like, what does he know? What kind of advanced metric does he have here?
We were talking about it yesterday, maybe late last week. You know, we all are expecting Jackson Merrill to win the Rookie of the Year award, but it's not over yet.
Brace yourself, for if he doesn't.
Oh, God, yeah. I would love to hear from somebody that placed a bet. I mean, we talked about this in like March and April when it was kind of determined like, oh, they're really going to give this kid a shot in center field. He's going to get his full chance. Could he be a Rookie of the Year? It was like, I want to say it was like plus 2,000, maybe even higher, plus 4,000. Did anybody get in on that?
Yeah, did anybody get in early on Jackson Merrill?
Because, I don't know, by about June, halfway through the season, when he really was like, okay, he's actually a contender for this award, the odds had already started to change.
100%.
But at one point, I definitely remember them being plus 2,000 or 4,000.
Well, everyone had already given it to Yoshinobu Yamamoto when the season started.
It was Yamamoto to start.
Then Imanaga.
Then it was Imanaga. And it was like,
then
Skeens
came out.
Then Skeens came out, and it was like, oh, Skeens is going to win it. Then Merrill all of a sudden is like,
Merrill and Churio were just kind of there.
Yep, and then Merrill just soared to the top. And then Churio has been a bit of a late push, though. He's been fairly solid the second half of the season. It does feel like it's. What if they do this bit?
Cody said he placed a bet in March.
Did he? That's incredible. For how much money, Cody? And what do you got? He got it at what?
1,800. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Yeti is right. I think in the original odds, like Ethan Salas had like better odds to win the National League Rookie of the Year award than Jackson Merrill.
Adam Paul says a good friend of his put 100 on Merrill Jackson before the season. He's not going to win that. Just so you know, Merrill Jackson is not going to win the Rookie of the Year, right?
I would not think so. No. Who is Merrill Jackson?
I don't think he's anybody. But if you put $100 on Meryl Jackson, well, it wasn't this smart.
Certainly, there's certainly Meryl, someone out there named Jackson? Meryl Jackson. Did you see that there's that kid, like 9-year-old kid,
yeah,
named Jackson Merrill?
Jackson Merrill.
Who got to meet Jackson, a Padres fan. He was already a Padres fan.
Go figure.
Before his whole life, and his name is Jackson Merrill, San Carlos, and got to meet Jackson Merrill, who is now a San Diego Padre.
Interesting.
I think I would have been insane if there had been a Padre. Like, I had grown up, and all of a sudden, when I'm 9, Ben Higgins becomes a Padre.
Hi, this is Merrill Jackson.
Hello, Merrill.
Also, a great name. Merrill Jackson's a kick-ass.
Hi, this is Merrill Jackson.
The Diamondbacks have pitcher Merrill Kelly.
Yep.
So, you know, there's a Merrill already in the NL West.
I like Kelly Merrill, personally. It's really my favorite.
Kelly Merrill is the girl next door.
Merrill, hi, this is Merrill Jackson.
Hi, this is Merrill Jackson.
Holy crap.
I don't know if I would have laughed this hard if I wasn't that tired. The joke is way funnier to me today than it probably
Loopy
would have been.
Woods is, so Loopy Woods is entertaining this morning. Oh. Jesse Agler is always entertaining and informative and incorporating for us. Voice of the Padres will join us when we come back from Seattle, Washington, next on 97.3 The Fan. I heard that the high temperature in Seattle today, he's going to be right around 70 degrees.
Mm.
Sounds nice. I mean, not that you ever want to get away from San Diego, but it's been hot here the last few days. This apparently is the last day.
I was texting with Jesse yesterday, make sure he was good to go this morning. He said it was like 64 and overcast.
Mama.
He goes, which kind of a welcome break.
I would say
from
it's
the
very
heat wave
welcome.
We just had.
Yeah. Well, and remember, Jesse and Tony just went to St. Louis and Tampa Bay, and then they come back to San Diego where it's just as nasty and hot, and now they go to Seattle. They deserve some nice, cloudy, cool weather for a couple of days. Jesse's standing by. He will join us from the Pacific Northwest after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler, remind us of what it feels like to walk outside and be comfortable.
So right now, there are, I would call it, mostly sunny skies. There's like a little bit of a gray up there, but it's mostly blue. 57 degrees.
Oh, wow.
A little chilly for my blood.
Did you bring a pullover, a hoodie or something?
I brought a pullover. I don't know that I'm going to end up needing it. This is good running weather. We're going to do a long run, and actually we all chat. And it's very welcome. You nailed it, Ben. You know, going from St. Louis to Tampa, the heat wave in San Diego, this is very well.
That's heaven. Who, very nice. Who's on the who's running?
Me. I said we. It was like a royal we.
Royal we. Okay. Because I pictured Scan and Mud.
I could see Tony. Maybe,
Tony
running. Mud is not running.
Mud. You know what Mud will do on an off day? Mud will walk. It, like in San Francisco on Thursday when we have an off day, I would put the over under on the number of miles Mark Grant walks at 8.
Oh, wow.
He'll just go and walk.
I can also picture him showing you the phone and the number of steps that he has taken.
Oh, yeah.
Every
single
time.
Absolutely. 40,000 steps.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%.
So I remember that scene in Forrest Gump when
he just walks?
Run.
Yeah, remember this? Here, you've seen this.
Here, let me show you.
Against the wind in the background. Yeah. I feel like, and we probably ask you this every year when we have you on if you're in Seattle. I feel like Seattle is a Jesse Agler fave as far as the travel goes.
It's I got it as one of my favorite stops in the league. I mean, this is a great road trip. I love the Bay Area. I love Seattle. We got an off day both places. Well-earned, well-deserved off day for everybody, both stops. And, yeah, I like this weather a lot. I do. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. The San Diego thing is literally perfect most times. But, like, you know me, guys. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm like a quiet, keep to myself. Like something about like the grayer skies and the cooler temperatures sort of speaks to me on like a sort of metaphysical level. I don't know. So I enjoy it here very, very much. It's a great city. great food. We stuffed a lot of sushi in our faces last night. Ooh. And that's not the royal we. That was the whole group. it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. I love it up here.
You know, you have you've expressed the challenges involved in the more balanced schedule when you're not playing divisional opponents as much. But you had a stat yesterday that I wanted you to share regarding the Padres' travel with our audience, because it blew my mind.
Yeah, it blew mine too. And I'll tell you, the funny thing is, so I woke up yesterday and instinctively my first thought was, because I was going to call home, was like, all right, what time is it back home? And then I remembered I was in Seattle and I was like, man, it feels like forever that I haven't had to figure out what time it is back home. So I pulled up the schedule and today's game against the Mariners will be the first road game the Padres are playing in this time zone since June 5th.
It's insane.
Good God.
It's insane.
Every single road game has been Mountain, Central, or Eastern time for the last 2+ months.
That's grindy. And I think
3+ months.
At the beginning of the year, too, Jesse, they do the thing where they chart the number of miles each team has to fly. And I want to say the Padres were very, very near the
most,
top.
They were the most. Because of Korea, they were number one. It's usually Seattle, but because of Korea, I think Padres were number one this year.
Ooh, mama.
Yeah, the Mariners obviously get the short end of this stick, you know, as always, because they're kind of isolated up here. But so the Padres this year are the most air miles. The Dodgers were second, obviously Korea's a part of that. But the crazy thing is, the Mariners were third, and they were like right behind the Dodgers, and they didn't go anywhere. Like they're just doing their usual thing. They didn't fly across the Pacific. So that tells you what the Mariners got. You know, similarly, it's funny because I think with this time zone thing, the Mariners this year had their first road game in their own time zone that same day, June 5th, earlier this year. So, I mean, they went the first couple of months of the season without a road game in the Pacific time zone, and now the Padres are having one for the first time, as you said, in 3 months. I mean, that's what this schedule does. You know, it's more trips back east. You know, the other thing is, too, I mean, you look at the last two trips, right? We went to Pittsburgh and Miami, came home, then went to Cleveland. I might be getting it backwards. Well, but anyway, Cleveland and Pittsburgh were back-to-back trips. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, for those of you not familiar, they're like an hour away. But like we did those on separate trips. And then on those same trips, we had Miami and Tampa. So we had the two Florida stops on consecutive trips, not together. Like they could have bracketed Pittsburgh and Cleveland together and Tampa and Miami together. And it would have been a little bit more of a, like, it's just, I mean, it is the reality of this schedule. It is that because you're playing, you know, every American League team, either home or away, you're going to end up traveling more in it. And it nails the West Coast teams. It really does. Much, much, much more than the other teams. I mean, here's the thing you might not realize if you're not a cartographer or you don't work in baseball, is that, like, you know, outside of basically the teams we consider out west, St. Louis is about as far west as you go. And St. Louis is like an hour and a half flight from New York on a charter.
Wow.
So, like, all those eastern and central teams are so close to one another. Like, Pittsburgh to New York is a 40-minute flight. So, like, oh, now, you know, oh, the Yankees have to go to Pittsburgh every other year. No big deal. It's like going to Boston for them. You know, so, I mean, it's just those teams are so much closer together than you realize. There is a lot of land between St. Louis and San Diego, and we fly over it quite a bit.
100%. Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben & Woods this morning, and, you know, to the baseball at hand, we were talking earlier about the Mariners are three games out of a wild card right now. So they are absolutely in it. They have something to play for.
Yeah.
They've got really good pitching on the mound. On the mound the next 2 days. Their offense is not great. It's just not great. Yeah. They broke out for some runs in Petco Park, but Yu Darvish getting on the hill tonight to try to knock some more rust off. You know, good offense to do it against. I think I say that, and I know it will bite me in the ass, Jesse.
I mean, you know, the starting pitching is going to be the thing down the stretch here, right? It always is. You know, I mean, the offense has enough guys, even if somebody's going cold. You know, it does feel like there's going to be somebody else to go hot. You know, that's sort of been the nature of this season for the Padres. And, that's the point of having that kind of depth and talent, you know, on an offensive side. Not to say they won't run into a night when, you know, they don't get it going offensively. But, you know, I mean, like, I don't know how many thousands of times I've said to you guys over the years that we've all been chatting, you know, that it's always about pitching. It's always about pitching. And you look at the Sunday game, you know, I mean, what led to that game going the way it did? It was that fluky sequence for Joe Musgrove in the top of the fourth inning, and it was starting pitching. And, you know, with the bullpen that they have and the offense that they have, if they can get, you know, adequate or above from their starters most nights, they're going to be just fine. And I mean that for both September and October. So, yeah, I mean, look, Darvish is still in a little bit of a weird spot. It's only his second one back after missing, you know, literally the entire summer. So I'm sure they've got a plan in place, you know, to cover that and to sort of, you know, try and be as strategic as possible about it. And then I think it's King tomorrow. So, yeah, I mean, you got to go out and pitch. These are games on this trip that you would imagine are not going to be particularly high scoring between the ballparks, between the pitching, you know, as you said. So, you know, those guys are going to have to go out there and do their thing.
Jesse, with Ha-Seon Kim continuing to slowly recover, do you anticipate, just based on kind of what you heard, any change at shortstop tonight? We've been talking about it. Mason McCoy, I talked to him last week. Really liked the kid.
Yeah,
played really
kid.
Good defense, but he struggled offensively pretty badly, and the Padres could use one more bat in the lineup, and they've got Donovan Solano and David Peralta, and they can't use him every single day. What's your sense of how this is going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, the tea leaves all indicate something's going to change right now. I don't know that that means it's going to be every single day. You know, maybe it's a matchup-based thing. Maybe it's sort of like, all right, what do we think this game is going to look like? But, you know, all right, like let's say they do slide Bogey back over to shortstop. Let's say he's amenable to that and comfortable with that. So you're putting Cronenworth at second, you know, Arai, Solano, whatever combination, DH and first base, you know, maybe depending on the day. You've got then McCoy available as like a late-inning defensive sub where you can maybe tighten up the defense if you've got a lead late. You know, that's what I would imagine we're going to see at least some of. Again, just sort of based on everything we've heard. And look, the reality for Ha-Seon Kim is that the clock is ticking. You know, it's September 10th. It's been a while now. He's still, it sounds like, not particularly close. So, you know, whatever you decide to do, I would say, and this isn't based on inside information, this is just sort of me looking at the calendar and the situation, is that, you know, whatever decision you make, you have to say to yourself, am I comfortable doing this in a postseason?
Yep.
You know, I mean, because the reality is at this point that it could go that way. So, you know, you have to be, I think, to use a Mike Schultz word, very intentional about how you handle this, you know, because it might not end up being just a stopgap thing for another 10 days. It might be something that you ride into October. So, my sense is just based on everything we've seen and heard, they're gonna play around with it. Whether that begins tonight, I would guess. Potentially, but, you know, no guarantee. We'll see. But, yeah, I don't think there's any question that there's some stuff moving around there.
Yeah, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, you know, if in fact, Ha-Seon Kim is not able to make it back, you know, this season. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. We may not see Ha-Seon Kim in a Padres uniform anymore. And, you know, I search my soul on how to feel. I know emotionally I'll be really, really bummed because I really love him as a player and a person, just a great dude. He's so beloved in the clubhouse. And you know, I got really offended when the Dodgers broadcasters called him the Padres mascot. He's not that. He's more than that. And, you know, you never know what you're missing until it's gone. And I think this team has suffered with.
Look, he's a guy that has been, you know, an everyday presence for a couple of years now. When he first got here, it's hard to remember now, but he was kind of like, you know, a guy they would pick their spots to put him in. And then at whatever point it was, he just grabbed onto a job, you know, and it was moving all around the infield. It was whatever's needed, but he became a guy that you had to have on the field. Obviously a fan favorite, as you said, a clubhouse favorite, a guy that brings an energy and an excitement to the thing. And this year has been a struggle for him.
Yep.
You know, I feel badly for him, you know, between injury and just not being as good, you know, offensively in terms of the numbers, had some early defensive struggles that, you know, were frustrating for him, I know, as well. It's just one of those years and they do happen. And look, as you said, he's a free agent. So he's going to, you know, have to decide what he wants to do. Padres are going to have to decide what they want to do. And it's just a good reminder that, you know, there's a fragility to everything, right? I mean, you know, it was kind of an innocuous play when he aggravated his shoulder. He's just diving in and it was a pickoff, right?
I said the same thing to Ben. I said, I've seen so much worse happen to him, I thought. Yeah, really, really tough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's sort of one of those things that happens. But again, you know, this is why you build depth on your roster, because you just never know when this stuff is going to happen. And the reality is this team has weathered storm after storm after storm this year. You think about all the games missed by Fernando, all the games missed by Darvish and Musgrove, all the games missed by Xander Bogaerts. You know, that's what I was saying when Jackson fouled that ball off his knee the other day. It's like they've been dealing with stuff like that all year long. And look at the position that they're in. You know, the reality is I think for any team, you are very rarely going to be firing on all cylinders. You know, if you look like, let's say the last day of spring training, you go, here's going to be our usual starting nine, right? Like, based on how spring training went and what the roster looks like. I would bet for most teams, most years, those nine guys play together like maybe 20 games all season.
For sure.
I mean, that's just the craziness of the attrition of the season.
There are teams that have 162 lineups in 162 games nowadays.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed last week's Welsh-themed Incorporator. You knocked it out of the park.
It was so good.
We're going to go a little more traditional today.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, the nugget of the game.
The nugget of the game. It was fantastic.
USOB.
But you could also work Chick-fil-A into this one, I think.
That's true. Yeah. You actually could.
Gentacular.
Never heard of it. Gentacular is, I lost it.
How's it spelled?
Pertaining to breakfast. Gentacular.
Does it start with a G or a J?
A J. Gentacular.
Like spectacular, but gentacular.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I can't. That's your job.
I can do it.
Ben's gonna
I enjoyed a gentacular sausage.
Like, you probably
like it's
will
not
you save
a,
him saying that, Paul?
Like a bratwurst would be more of a dinner sausage, but like a one of those Jimmy Dean patties, that would be a gentacular sausage.
Pancakes are gentacular to breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gentacular.
Okay. What a word.
It's a great word. It just jumped off the page at me.
Before you go, Jesse, just because
still
I know
57 degrees, by the way.
Oh, nice. I've noticed, because we're Padres fans, a somewhat of a panic in the fan base just about where they stand and, getting nervous down the stretch. I know what the math says. How do you feel confidence-wise about the Padres making the playoffs at this point?
I feel very good about it, but, look, the reality is nothing is locked in.
Sure.
It's September 10th, and I know we want to act like, I think it's very easy to feel like, oh, there's only a week left in the season because, hey, it's this trip, it's kind of quick, only two games in Seattle, home for the last homestand, gone for the last week, and then that's it. And so it feels like, it's going to be over any second now. And it might end up feeling like it's over in a second, but that's still a lot of games.
It's a lot.
And there's a lot that's going to happen. And this Mets push out of nowhere is really, complicating the picture. Are the Braves going to stabilize themselves? The Padres and the Diamondbacks have those head-to-head games, which obviously could end up being gigantic, the final 3 days of the season. Look, I mean, if you did an experiment or if you did a project where you looked back at, where we were 3 weeks ago and 6 weeks ago and 9 weeks ago, it changes more than we probably realize it does. We always fall into this trap of like, okay, this is what it is today, so it's probably going to be about this the rest of the way. And then, the Padres go on their crazy streak after the All-Star break, and so do the Diamondbacks. And then now the Mets are doing their thing. And it's a really good reminder that a lot can change in not that much time. So, look, it's September 10th. That's, 19 more days between now and the end of the regular season. An awful lot can happen, good and bad, obviously. So, hey, trust this team. They've been there all year. They've played solid baseball. They've kept their noses down. And we'll see how it goes.
Enjoy your run, Jesse.
Perfect.
Perfect timing.
Nailed it.
Power 4 next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.